We are in a series called Freedom from Limits, and to experience freedom from all limits, we must be renewed in the spirit of our mind and let God enlarge our vision. From the book of Ephesians 4:23 and 24, he says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Sounds like mind renewal to me. "And that you put on the new man." Amen. Put off the old man and put on the new man, "which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness." New man. New man. A new mindset. New eyes. New ears. New things coming. Into a new season. That's where we're heading. Now in Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 1st verse, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." In other words, stand fast simply means to be immovable, unshakable, no matter what pressure comes your way. Standing fast means to anchor yourself in Christ's finished work. Paul's writing to the church at Galatia, and what the problem there at the church of Galatia was, they were tempted to return to circumcision and legalistic practices that they had learned from the Judaizers. And Paul is encouraging them, and he warns them that that would be like putting chains back on after Christ had set them free. So he is encouraging us to stand fast in the liberty or the freedom wherewith Christ hath, past tense, set us free. Amen. Have you ever noticed all the haths in God's word? He hath redeemed us. He hath delivered us. He hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He has healed us. I mean, you could get happy just preaching on the haths. And then he says, "Be not entangled," or in other words, be not held back or ensnared or bound up with what? With a yoke of bondage. Now, what a yoke symbolizes in the Word of God is submission, servitude, and oppression. Bondage always implies a loss of freedom, whether it be physically or spiritually or emotionally or financially. This morning, I just had it in my heart to talk to you for a while. Is that all right? Amen. Talk to you about the bondage that fear brings. And I want to call this freedom from the limits of fear. A great deception in the body of Christ is this. They say that fear is natural. Fear is not natural. To the born again believer, you have been delivered from the bondage of fear. The writer to Hebrews says it like this in 2:14 and 15, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise also took part of the same," amen, "that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death," that is the devil. Notice he had the power of death, but he has it no more where you're concerned. Amen. And notice what be in verse 15, "and deliver them," hallelujah, "who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." It would be fair to say we were bound, but now we have been set free. Amen. Through Calvary, through the work of Christ, through the finished works of Christ, we no longer have any fear of death. Now notice in Romans 8:15, he said this, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage." The spirit of bondage, again to fear. But what we have received, we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." Amen. Then in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, you know it so well, let's quote it together. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Say it with me, fear. Get out of here. I've been liberated. No more bondage for me. Just glory and great liberty. Amen. Now, we discussed last week how that the children of Israel turned back and they limited the God of Israel. They turned back. An illustration of this is in Numbers chapter 13. God told them to go out and spy out the land. He says, I've given it to you, but I want you to do a recon. I want you to see what's out there, and I want you to be strategic in how you can go up and possess the land. It's yours, but your feet got to get on that land, and you've got to adopt the strategy that I'm giving you to possess the land. You know, God is the same way today. He's given us a lot of things. But in order for us to possess it, we got to get our feet on it. Amen. Amen. And start walking by faith and not by sight. So they went out and they searched out the land. And pick up in Numbers 13, verse 26. Says, they went and came back to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and to all the congregation that showed them the fruit of the land. And they said, verse 27, we came to the land where you sent us, and yeah, it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Notice this, verse 28, nevertheless, watch out for the neverlesses. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. But Caleb wasn't about to take that. Caleb had the spirit of faith. Caleb was ready to take the land. And in verse 30 he says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses. And said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. They may be stronger than me in the natural realm, but they're not stronger than the greater one in me. Amen. But the people that went up with him, verse 31, said, we're not able, for they are stronger. They are stronger. Verse 32, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it's a land that eateth up the inhabitants, and all the people in it are of a great stature. Notice with me in verse 33, read it with me. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. The 10 spies focused on obstacles. They said, we cannot. But Joshua and Caleb focused on the promises of God. And they said, we are not just able, but we are well able. So understand this, that it was the same land, the same giants, with different perspectives. Now notice with me, we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. Wow. You see, the problem never is the giants that we face. The problem is, how do we see ourselves? They saw themselves as grasshoppers. And those in the land begin to see them and pick up on their lack of confidence and their lack of faith. And they said, I mean, that's the way they're seeing us too. So we see then that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. They turned back, like the Word of God says. So what was the culprit that day? I declare to you that fear was the culprit that kept them out and limited them. They were limited by their fears, and they were limited by how they saw themselves. It will always keep a person from entering in to their place of rich fulfillment that God has for them. But oh, thank God, fear may see it one way, but here's what faith sees. Faith sees oneself the way God sees them. Faith sees oneself entering into their wealthy place. Faith sees the answer, and faith speaks the answer. There was a difference that day. The 10 had fear. Joshua and Caleb had the spirit of faith. And they got so upset with them. If you follow the story on Numbers 14, they got so bummed out with them, they started wanting to stone them. Listen to me very carefully. The limiters will always want to hold you back. They tried to stone them. But notice in Numbers 14, verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and he has followed me partially. No, thank God, he followed me fully. And him, I'm going to bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Amen. See, he cultivated a spirit of faith. And we have nothing less than Caleb had. We have nothing less than David had. We have nothing less than Abraham had. We having the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed and therefore I speak. We also believe and therefore we speak. So say with me, I have the spirit of mountain moving faith. I have the spirit of faith. So Caleb removed the limits and he enlarged his faith capacity to what God had promised him. And we must do the same thing. Because how many of you know there's giants out there? There's lies out there. The devil is a master at trying to convince us that there's no way. This person may be able to do it, but you can't. He is a big, fat liar. He is the accuser of the brethren. But he is also a defeated foe. When you rise up and declare, no, 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 Mr. Devil, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and I overcome by the word and the rhema of my testimony. And I just want to have a little talk with you. I testify to you that you are a defeated foe, that you are under my feet. You cannot hold me back because the greater one's on the inside of me, and I'm moving in and I'm moving up to my wealthy place. You need to learn to answer him. Don't just think the thoughts of God, speak the thoughts of God. Answer it, answer it, answer the lie, answer the deception. And in order to do that, you've got to open your mouth. It's wonderful and great for me to open my mouth, but you've got to open your mouth. Norval Hayes said it like this, you are your mouth. Your mountain needs to hear your voice. I feel like I'm on my soapbox today. So we must remove the limits, enlarge our faith to receive what God has promised. Another great example of this is David. David didn't see Goliath. He saw the greatness of his God. And he saw the greatness of his covenant. See, David answered it. It being Goliath. He had something to say about that big boy. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 45 and 46, then David said, notice that with me, David said. David said. You got to speak to the Philistines. You come to me with a sword, with a spear. You come to me with a shield. But hey, big boy, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. So David didn't have his flesh out there in front of him because David was small. David was a youth. But what David had is he had his covenant out there in front of him. And he had the name. Woo, glory to God. Notice verse 46, he said, and this day, how many of you know, now is the day for us to rise up. We don't wait till tomorrow. We don't wait till next week. Now is the day. Now is the day to make your proclamation. Now is the day to make your dedication. He said, this day, today, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. And I'm going to smite you. I'm going to take your head from you. And I'm going to give the connected to the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day, unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. People ought to know that you're a Christian. People ought to know that you serve God. On your block, they ought to know that you've been born again. You don't have to be ugly or aggressive with them. Let your love flow. Let your light shine. People are hungry and they need to know there is a God who can meet their need. There's a God that can heal their bodies. There's a God that can restore their souls. There is a God that can bring their families back together in. So we see then from this, the fear is a limiter and it brings bondage. But it is the will of God for every one of us in this auditorium today, for those who will watch and listen in the future, for those that are online, it is the will of God for all of us to be free from the limits and bondage of fear. Now, what we're going to center in on for the balance of this message is this one area that we must deal with on a continual basis in order to have breakthrough from fear. We need to deal with worry and we need to deal with anxiety. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Proverbs 12:25 in the NLT says this, anxiety in the heart of men causes depression. Yes. Proverbs 12:25 in another translation says, an anxious heart weighs a man down. How many of you have ever experienced anxiety? How many of you have ever experienced fear? It did not bless you. It's weighty in the wrong way. The glory of God is weighty in a good way. It brings peace. But the weight of anxiety brings depression and weighed down. That's why he gave you and I a garment. And what is that garment? Hey, we had it on today. We're going to keep it on today. That's why he gave us the garment of what? Praise for the spirit of heaviness. Glory to God. When you live your life in the presence of God, when you abide in him, when you praise him as a way of life, you're not going to be weighed down by anxiety and fear, but you're going to be weighed down by the glory of God and a peace that passes all understanding. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Amplified, it says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, do what? Continue to make your wants known to God. So we see here, we're not to fret. We're not to have any anxiety about anything. And then 1 Peter 5:7, read that with me. He says, casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Now, there's two different Greek words for the word care there. This does not mean casting all your worries on him because he worries for you. No, God never worries. A literal translation of 1 Peter 5:7 would be this. Throwing. Casting. Throwing. Some of you need to throw your cares on God. Throwing all your anxiety upon him because he's interested and concerned for you. That's good to know. He's interested in us. And he is concerned for us. Not with a concern of worry, but with a concern of love. Love loves us. Our Father cares for us. Amen. And you know what? There is no fear in the revelation of that kind of love. Because perfect love, what does it do? It casts out all fear. You get a revelation of how much he loves you, glory to God, you will not have to have anxiety, fear, or worry in your life. And you can do this. But many people are highly skilled at worrying. They've been brought up in an atmosphere of fear and worry. Some think, you know, if you really care for a person or for a situation, you need to worry about it. Where's that in the Bible? When's the last time your worry paid your bills? When's the last time being worried about a doctor's report healed your body? Uh-uh. No, 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 no. They think if you really care for a person or a situation, you must worry about it. Nothing could be further from the truth. We can care for someone and not worry about them. And one of the ways that we can show our care for them is by praying for them. Praying for them. Another way that we can show our care for them is just being there for them. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you were just so glad that there was someone that was there for you? That's why I believe that God has not called any of us to be lone rangers spiritually. We need a family. We need a company. We need some faith buddies. We need people that can speak into our lives and bring encouragement into our souls. It is the oxygen of your soul. It's the oxygen of your soul. We can pray for one another. We can be there for one another. Amen? We can speak God's word over one another. There is a way for us to live completely free from all worry and anxiety. Again, throwing. Everyone say throwing.
Throwing.
Let's do that right now. I throw all my anxiety upon you. Because you're interested in me. And you're concerned for me. Just know this, beloved. He can fix it. He can fix it. He can fix your family dynamic. He can fix your finances. He can fix your body. He created your body. He can fix it. He can bring a new body part into your life if you need it. He can fix it. He is Jehovah Shwoo Rapha, the Lord that heals you. Glory to God. He is the restorer of broken dreams. He can fix a marriage. He can fix a broken relationship with God. He can fix it with your cooperation. So stop holding on to the condemnation of the past. Come on. Let the fear of past failures, let that go. It's a new day. You're a new man. It's a new season. It's time to rise up with boldness and confidence, knowing this, that he who has begun a good work in you, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. People worry oftentimes because they really don't know what's important. Friends, listen to this statement. If we could see things the way that he sees them, we would have no worry. Shall I say that again? If we could see some things the way he sees them, we would have no worry. But it does involve, and it is necessary for us to be focused. Now, here's a major reason why people worry is because they don't control their thought life. How many of you know the battle is between your ears? The lies come from the enemy. But at the other end of every lie that comes to your mind is the truth. It is the law of reciprocals. North is the opposite of south. The truth is the opposite of lies. So whatever lie comes to your soul, just know this. Whoop, on the other end is the truth. And that's why it's so important that you know the truth. That you study the truth. That you meditate in the truth. That you get in the truth. And the truth get in you. It'll set you free. And it will keep you free. Unquestionably free. And we're going to get into some things. How many of you got a little bit more time today? We're going to get into some things about focus. So you got your ears on, buddy? Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. He said, now, the light of the body is what? It is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, what will happen? Thy whole body shall be full of light. Now, this is not as mystical as some people have made it out to be. This is not mystical at all. Everyone in the congregation, close your eyes. What do you see? See nothing. You see darkness. Open your eyes. What do you see? You see light. You see, the light that you and I perceive comes through our eyes. It doesn't come through my nose. It doesn't come through my ears. It doesn't come through my feet. It comes through my eyes. And if your eye is single, we need to understand this. Single. Everyone say single. Single is the opposite of double. Single is the opposite of duo, which is the Greek word for double. And we get the word doubt from it. As a result of people being double-minded rather than single-minded with their eyes on Him, the result is wavering. In other words, there's too many distractions. There's a choice between this and there's a choice between that. Listen very carefully. Can you waver over one thing? Can you waver over one thing? Absolutely not. There's a restaurant in Texas. How many of you like Texas? I like a little Tex-Mex. I'm going to Oklahoma tomorrow. And I might just have me some Tex-Mex down in Oklahoma. I like Tex-Mex. I like Texas. One thing I like about Texans is they have adopted this policy, tight ain't right. They like a lot of open space, a lot of acreage. Amen. Sometimes I feel that way. When people are face talkers, I'm not talking about any of you, but they get up right in your face and they talk. You want to back off and say, hey, it's a big room here. It's a big world. Back off, buddy. I can hear you. All right. Everyone say tight ain't right. But there's a restaurant in Texas where they have no menu. Absolutely no menu. Why is that? Because they only serve one thing. And you can just about imagine what that one thing is. Fried chicken. Walk, walk, walk. Fried chicken. One thing on the menu. There will be no wavering in that restaurant about what you're going to order. They have completely eliminated wavering. They have a single offering on their menu. And when your eye is single on His Word, your body, your life, it will be full of light. Because a person that is single-minded has removed the distractions that come to their soul. And there is nothing that can pull your attention onto anything else. Because I'm telling you today, in our lives, there's only one thing that is needful. There's one thing on the menu, and His name is Jesus. There's one thing on the menu, and it is His Word. There's one thing on the menu, and that is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. See, I believe the reason why a lot of people are worrying and fretting and having anxiety, because they're too distracted. The Scripture says that the distractions of this age will enter in and choke the Word. and cause it to become unfruitful. If we could just be more focused oriented. If we could just be more God inside minded. More Word of God inside minded. Than we are with all these things out in the world, we'd have greater peace. And not only that, we'd have greater joy. All of you have discovered this. You sit down to study the Word of God and all of a sudden the phone rings. All of a sudden there's a ding there and a dong there. I submit to you, you need to turn the dings off and the dongs off so that you can get in. Amen. And stay in. Is this all right today? Some of you are texting right now. Stop it. That's not prophetic. That's just pathetic. Distractions of this age. Entering in. And choke the word. And it becomes unfruitful. His word is what stands between us and annihilation. His word is what stands between us and the law of sin and death. Look at your neighbor and say, man, that's good preaching. So one thing is needful. There's only one thing on the menu. As contrasted to duo, doubt, and wavering. Notice verse 23 and 24. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man, now notice this, here's duo again. No man can serve who? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Money cannot be what you're seeking after. Seeking mammon is having an unhealthy relationship with money. It's okay to have money. But never allow money to have you. Never give your life to the paper chase. Says, well, I got to do this and I got to do that to make ends meet. What about God? Don't ever factor God out of your finances. You cannot serve God and serve mammon. So he says, Pastor Mark, are you saying we should not have anything? No, you should have everything God wants you to have. But those things should not have you. Whether it be a motorcycle or the latest video game. Oh, dear God, we could really, really go there. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's duo again. You can have money without worshiping it. Next verse, verse 25. Read it with me. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? So how do we stop worrying? We got to get rid of all the wavering. And that is the context of these verses. That's what Jesus is trying to get over to them. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what Jesus wants us to get. That's what Jesus wants us to lay hold of. And not laying hold of the world, but laying hold of him. He should be your gold. He should be your silver. He should be your all and all. Glory to God. How many of you know there's a difference between thinking about something and being anxious about something? I'm not saying throw away your grocery list. Yeah, you need to think about what you're going to eat. But you don't need to worry about it. You need to have a list of your groceries. I spoke with Brenda yesterday and man... Whew, they got quite a list down there in Tulsa. She's staying with James and Esther. and she's going to get our hotel room stocked. My hotel room's got to be stocked with goodies. And then, of course, we bought groceries for James and Esther, and we're delighted to do it. But you see, they had to think about it. You know, they had to put it on a list. He's not telling you not to think about what you're going to wear. Well, I'll just wear whatever the Lord wants me to wear. I'll just ask the Lord whether I should eat Cheerios today or shredded wheat. No, plan. Think about it. Think about it. Well, I'm driving over to Los Angeles this afternoon. I know I'll get there sooner or later. You got to have a plan. A plan of action. There's nothing wrong with planning ahead. What's wrong is worrying about it and causing it to be a distraction. But rather, see, what he's saying is take no anxious or worried thought. Here's what we can do. How about this? See how this fits with you. But rather, what do you say we take God's thoughts? What do you say we take God's thoughts and speak God's thoughts? And not only that, but be single-minded and focused on what he said. And what will happen? Your life will be enriched. Anybody looking for an enriched life? And not only that, you will break through the barriers. And you will experience freedom from the limits of fear and anxiety. Pray this prayer with me. Put your hand over your heart. Pray this. Lord, help me to see everything in this life through your eyes and through your word and through my covenant with you. Verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than a bird? Yeah. Remember, Ed Dufresne preached that years ago. He said, I'm better than a bird.
Yes, I am. Yes.
If he takes care of the birds, he's going to take care of you.
Yes.
He's going to feed you. He's a master at feeding his people. Amen. And then he said in verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30, read it with me. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? So Jesus is not excited about people that have little faith. Little faith is a sign of a lot of anxiety. Little faith is a sign of a lot of worry. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Think about what he does. Think about your daddy. Hey, just think about what he's already done for you. Think about what he's already done for you. Has he done anything for you? He's done great things. You know, when I think about all that the Lord has done for me, I tell you, it just excites me. Sometimes in worship, it'll bring me to tears to see just how far God has brought me. Think about what he's brought you out of. Think about the former days. When you couldn't sleep and when you were addicted or whatever the case may be, or emotionally disturbed. Think about those days and look where you are now. Look where you are now. Think about when you didn't have two nickels to rub together.
Yeah.
Brenda and I were so in lack in the early 80s. We were invited to stay at some people's house while they were on vacation because we didn't have a home. Amen. We were in between Minnesota and California.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We were so hard up that we literally had to sell the owners of the homes Coca-Cola bottles to get some money.
Amen. That's right. I remember that.
Somebody says, isn't that stealing? Be quiet. We were in bad shape. And I can remember driving from Durham, North Carolina to Minnesota and to Wisconsin with just enough money for gasoline to get to Wisconsin. And every tire in that automobile was talking to me. But it wasn't the tires. It was the devil. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to tell your parents? What are you going to do? Anybody heard that before? But we fast forward 40 some years, and the Lord has been gracious. And the Lord has been good. But I will never, ever forget what He's done for me. Don't you ever forget what God has done for you. I had a battle physically. Some of you don't even know about it. For years and years, I had a battle physically. But that physical battle is done. The victory has been won. And it's not because of my great faith, but because of a great God. Oh, I trust in Him, my Savior, the God who will never change. And He's your God. Forget not what He's done for you. Camp out there for a while. And then with fresh vision, look toward your future and declare, my God is just starting in my life. My God is not finished with me. Greater days ahead. Greater strength ahead. Greater power ahead. Greater glory ahead. Greater souls being won in this church ahead. Woo, glory. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
The more faith we have and the more we trust God, the more we realize how much of a waste of time worry is. In verse 31, therefore, here it is. Take no thought saying, don't say it, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, what I'm going to wear. For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. You see, listen very carefully. Here, are you still here?
Yes.
You got to listen to this part. This is good. It's all been good, but this is really good. He said, take no thought saying. We can identify what's going on in our head by what's coming out of our mouth. What are we going to do about this bill? What are we going to do about that child? What are we going to do about that doctor's report? What are we going to do about our house that's got termites? What are we going to do about our washing machine? It looks like it's on its way out. What are we going to do about new tires for our car? Where in the world? Not going to get it from the world. But where in the world and how in the world are we going to get the money to pay for all that? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We need to stop all that looping. You just stop it. Not put up with it. And cast down those evil imaginations. And then think about your provider. Think about your provider. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm believing God that it shall be unto me and my family and my church, even as has been told me in the good word of God. Brother Hagin was filling in for a pastor some summer, and the church was way behind financially. And the board of directors were just all steamed up and full of anxiety and full of fear and full of worry. And they said, "My God, Brother Hagin, what are we going to do?" He said, "I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to act like the New Testament is true. I'm just going to act like the Word of God is true." And he said, that board of directors went like this. That's true, isn't it? Some of you just need to sigh and say, "It is true. And be it unto me according to the word of God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you." Did you know this? That if we are totally submitted to his will, he will pick up the bill. He'll pick up the bill. See, we're soldiers in the army of the Lord. And he will resource his soldiers. To experience his provision, we must have single vision. A single eye. An eye focused on what he has said to us in his word. Oh yeah, we're going to have challenges. We're going to have challenges. But remember this, you're sponsored. You're sponsored. You're an ambassador here on earth representing the kingdom of God. Say it with me, my citizenship is in heaven. All of my stuff is here. I'm just passing through. I got a job to do. And everything I need to get the job done, he has made provision for. Pastor Tom. Glory to God. Let's give him praise for what we're hearing today. Glory. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Single-minded. Single-minded. He has already provided. And I will enter into the provision because I'm on the path. And his path is getting brighter and brighter, not darker and darker. Stand up, everybody. You've been seated long enough. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just thank him for his provision. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your help, Lord, enabling us to stay single-minded, not wavering, not back and forth and up and down. Let us remember Abraham. Abraham was ready to offer up his son Isaac. And the name of the place where he was to offer up Isaac was called Jehovah Jireh. And Jireh means the Lord who sees before. He saw before what he would do. And so he put a ram on the way up that mountain. So when it came time, there was a ram in the thicket. And I'm telling you, there's some rams on the way for us. There's some rams on the way for you. He sees, he provides. I think we ought to thank God for his word today. I think we ought to sing something, then we're going to give a good altar call. Amen.